All right, tonight we are talking about rumors about God. Everyone say, oh, snap. Now, some of you guys have had some rumors about you. You know what I'm saying? Some of you have some testimonies. You're tearing up already. You got those rumors. Who's ever had a rumor started about you? I've had rumors started about me. And when I am confronted, I'm like, what? What? Where did you even hear that? Who would even say that about me? How many guys, you didn't even know the rumor was started about you, but you knew people were like kind of looking at you funny? People were like, you know, right when you walk in a room, all of a sudden, it got quiet. Okay, that still happens to me. And finally, someone comes up to you and they tell you what the rumor is. And you are just like, what? Wow, why would anyone ever say that about me? Maybe you start a rumor about yourself. Oh, I know some of y'all have done that, okay? You wanted to get some status. You're like, you know, me and that girl, we're going out. She wants to marry me. She's in love with me. And I'm like, oh, no, no. Okay, maybe you saw a rumor about yourself and you try to spread that wildfire, okay? Listen, what tonight we are talking about is rumors about God. Because I don't know about you, but there's some things I've heard about God growing up, and I'm like, is that true? Haven't you ever heard something about God, maybe from like Hollywood, maybe from a movie, you watch a movie, and you're kind of questioning, you're like, but was that true? Have y'all seen that Noah movie? Okay, listen, maybe someone at school, they've told you things about God, or you just heard things about God growing up, and you're wondering if it's true. And I think that there's been some things said about God. And if I could just imagine God in heaven, he's like, why did you believe that? Oh, man. He hears someone say something about him that just isn't even true. And he's like, why would they believe that? Where did they hear that from? Because, you know, growing up, I had heard that God was mean. Who's ever heard that? God's mean. How many of you guys ever heard God's unforgiving? How many of you guys ever heard that maybe God will stop loving you when you start doing bad things? Maybe God will start loving you more when you start doing good things. How many of you guys have ever heard that God is disappointed in you when you do something wrong? That God's ashamed of you when you do something wrong? These are rumors that we've heard about God. And I guess my question tonight is, what is true and what isn't? What have we heard all our life that is true? What have we heard all our life that isn't true? And can I tell you something? The only way that you'll know is to get into the Word. Is that right? Who has their Bible tonight? Yeah? Okay, good. Because we're going to be getting into the Scriptures. Because it doesn't matter what I say. And you obviously had heard all kinds of things about God growing up. The question is, what does God say about himself? And tonight, I feel like if I could just put God's relationship, if I could show you a picture of sometimes how we feel like the love of God is, if I could show you a picture of what I think we see God as, or what we feel like our relationship with God looks like, or what we feel like the forgiveness of God looks like, I think it looks a lot like this. He loves me. He loves me not. God loves me. God loves me not. I prayed this morning. God loves me. But in third period, I got so frustrated with my teacher, I cussed at her. He loves me not. I woke up this morning and I was really kind to my mom. God loves me. But then later, when I saw my boyfriend, we went a little too far. God loves me not. God loves me. God loves me not. And I feel like a lot of times our relationship with God is like that. It's this roller coaster relationship. One day you wake up and you know God loves you. The next afternoon you're questioning, does he still love me after what I did? Maybe you come to service on a Sunday night, you leave saying, oh my gosh, God is so in love with me because you hear how much he loves you and everything he believes in you. But the next morning, you're reminded of the mistake you made. You're reminded of the things you've done, and suddenly he loves me not. And I don't think that God ever intended for our relationship to be he loves me not. I don't think that God ever intended her forgiveness to look like a roller coaster up and down and up and down. because it's a little frustrating when you feel like you don't know where you stand with God. In fact, it's very hard to receive the love of God from somebody you feel like doesn't even accept you. You feel like maybe God doesn't accept you, maybe God doesn't approve of you, so how can you know he loves you, and how can you even love someone back? Maybe there's someone in your life you can think of, and you think of them, you just know you're not good enough. You just know they won't accept you. You just know maybe you're not cool enough to hang out with them. You just know. And when you think about them, it doesn't make you want to love them anymore. In fact, it makes you want to step away from them because it hurts. And God is saying, that's not how I am. This isn't how it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be, he loves me, he loves you not. I don't know what God's thinking of me. And how do we know what God truly thinks of us? We have to go to the Word. We have to go to the Bible. So go ahead and get out your Bibles. Go ahead and get out your Bibles. And as you're turning there, I just want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it. In fact, don't answer it out loud. Answer it in your heart. Does God love you less when you do something wrong? Does God love you more when you do something right? When you make a mistake, what are God's thoughts about you? You see, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. In Romans 5:8, I think we have it on the overhead. It says, but God showed his great love for us. See right there, God's writing, and he says, God showed his great love for you. You see, God loved you so much, he had to show you. It was something that he couldn't hide. It was something that he just had to show the whole world that I love you. Have you guys ever had a friend and like, maybe they're like, you're friends with them, but only a secret? Maybe you got a boyfriend, but ain't nobody know about it except you and him. Maybe you got a girlfriend and ain't nobody know about it except you and her. Okay? And they don't want to show that love. But here God comes and he says, this is a love I cannot contain. I have to do something so drastic that the whole world sees it. It has to be bizarre. It has to be incredible. When they look at this example of love, that they would not question for 1 second whether I love them or not. So what did he do? Well, in verse 8, it says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You see, here Jesus, he says, I'm going to do something crazy. I'm going to do something that doesn't make sense. He said, you see all these sinners? You see all these people who might betray me, who might turn their back on me later in life? I'm going to send someone. I'm going to send my one and only begotten son to save them. You see, he's going to go to the earth. He's going to live a perfect, sinless life. But then they're going to come. They're going to arrest him. Though he's innocent, they're going to beat him. They're going to mock him. They're going to make fun of him. And then he's going to die on a cross. And he's going to open up salvation for us. You see, he showed his love. He was unashamed. So we see that God loves us clearly in verse 8. We see that God loves us, but I wonder why sometimes we try to add to the love of God. When God's already done this, he's already died on the cross, why do we try to add often to something that's already perfect? Is Jessica here? Jessica, could you bring out our perfect, perfect item? Let's give Jessica a round of applause, people. Jessica, did you lick it? She was really tempted. This is perfect, people. Do you see it? It's chocolate. It's cake. It's moist. Someone say hallelujah for moist cake. Oh, we cannot have dry cake up in the house of God. That's a sin. Look at that frosting. Does anybody want this? Y'all need to calm down. All right. It's beautiful. It's perfect. There's nothing you could add to it. You don't need to add anything to that. If you did, I'd be angry. Okay? It is perfect. And you know what this is? This is the love of God. The love of God is perfect. The way he loves us is perfect. You don't need to do anything to get his love. You don't need to act any way for him to love you. His forgiveness is perfect. God already forgave you when you're all messed up. Okay, you're not going to make any huge surprises that are going to shock him. His forgiveness is perfect. His grace is perfect. And that's the love of God. But this is what we do. Oh, this is what we do. We take something that is perfect. We take something that is good. And you know what we say? This is what we say. We say, I know the love of God is perfect, but maybe I need to start being perfect myself. Maybe I need to start acting a certain way so that God will love me. And you know what that does? You see, we think we're helping God. We say, God will help you love me more. Let me act a certain way. Let me be a certain way. And, you know, and then this is what happens. Then things get more crazy. So here's our perfect love of God. Here's God's forgiveness, and life happens. And guess what happens in life? Sometimes we make mistakes. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we fall into sin. And so now you're going through life and something happens and you make a mistake and you fall into sin and you give into temptation. This is what happens. Oh, yeah, we just make it worse. We just make it worse. And then what happens? Now we've sinned, right? So we've sinned and we think, okay, God, I have to make up for the sin I just did. I have to make up. God, are you going to stop loving me? Because if you stop loving me, I don't know what I'm going to do. So let me make it up for you. Let me try to be really, really perfect this whole week. Let me try to be super passionate during worship. Let me try to do a whole bunch of good deeds, God, and I will make up for my sin. I promise, God. And we think we're helping God. But in reality, that's dirty, y'all. That is dirty. And see, what happens is we took something that was perfect. We took something that you didn't need to add anything to it. And we tried to help God. But really what we're doing is we're just making it worse. You see, you don't need to do anything for God to love you. You don't have to act a certain way. And you don't have to try to convince God to love you. God, I'll convince you. I promise. I just need to keep doing this. And I just need to stop doing this. And you're not convincing anybody. Because God already loves you. Remember? In Romans 5:8, he said, I showed the whole world I loved you. But this is what it comes to. You see, if God were to love you only when you were doing good things, if God were to love you only when you were saying good things to people, if God were to love you only when you're acting perfect, do you know what that would mean? That would mean God's love is conditional. Which means, I mean, how do you guys get allowance, right? What does allowance mean? Your mom is saying, I will give you $10 on these conditions. That you clean your room. That you do the dishes. That you wash my car. Anybody? No? No? You wash my car? I'll give you this money under these conditions. But if you don't do this, you don't get the money. That may make sense with your allowance. But that's not how God's love is. In fact, the Bible says his love is unconditional. There is no conditions. God is saying, I'll love you through the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you were to take a look around this room, you see youth workers standing all around you. Go ahead and look. Look around. You see youth workers standing all around you. These youth workers have stories, and they have testimonies of when God had seen them through the good, the bad, and the ugly. You see, that's what life is full of. It's full of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Here, God is saying, but I will love you all the way through it. So God is saying you are loved. God is saying you are forgiven. And God is saying you are righteous. Do you guys know what righteous means? Anybody? Okay, let's put up Webster's Dictionary definition of righteousness. I want to show you something. Webster's Dictionary says the conduct that conforms to the accepted standard of right and wrong, justice, doing right things, right performance, uprightness, free from sin, or morally right. Does that seem hard to do? Anyone else? It says free from sin. It says right performance. It says morally right. There's a whole lot of things we got to do in order to be righteous according to Webster's dictionary. Right? That's a little daunting. But let's see what the Bible defines righteousness as. It says right standing with God. Not based on what we've done, but based on what Christ did. So wait. When God says we're righteous, it's not because of anything you did, right? Believe me, you couldn't do anything good enough to make yourself righteous. Here God is saying, it's not based on what you did. You're righteous because of what Christ did. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, he's now saying you're righteous. Some of you are like, I didn't know I was righteous. That's right, you better declare it. I'm righteous. That's a good thing. Then it says the ability to stand before God without guilt, without fear, without inferiority, and without condemnation. Have you guys ever had guilt in your life? Maybe you think about something in the past, and you're like, oh, you could just disappear. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is just like, oh, that guilt. I hear God is saying, when you're righteous, which God has called you righteous, you can go before God. You can come into this house. You could pray to God in your room without thinking about that mistake you made years ago, and that's still affecting you to this day. Now, let's say you did make a mistake. Let's say you did fall into sin. Let's say you did give into a temptation. Was it wrong? Absolutely. Should you repent? Yes. And then change. But don't let that guilt keep coming and reminding you of who you used to be and what you used to do. You see, God has called us righteous. You see, culture focuses on performance, but the scriptures focus on Christ. You see, culture will tell you you need to perform a certain way in order for God to love you. You need to act a certain way in order for God to love you. You better keep performing, or you better keep acting this way, or God's going to not love you anymore. But here, the Bible is saying, no, that's not how it goes. It's all about what Jesus has already done for us. You know, I played basketball 1 year. It was my first year. It was my last year. Thank you, Lord, okay? Basketball, that ain't my thing. Beth is my name, and soccer is my game. Say what? Okay? Who plays basketball? I don't know how you do it. You guys are amazing. Who plays soccer? Right. Oh, yeah, Mia. She's crazy on that. Uh-huh. Who plays volleyball? A couple hands. Anything else? Did I miss? Oh, wrestling. Hey. Football? Oh, dang, we got a lot of girls playing football. Maybe we need to have a little matchup in here sometime. But listen, we're getting off subject. But, so I played basketball 1 year. I thought I was going to be like Michael Jordan. Right, Pastor Michelle got those Jordans. Okay. Swish. Okay, I thought that was going to be me. I get out there in the court, and shockingly enough, I sucked. I mean, I was more shocked than anybody. And every time I would go on the court, you know, that whistle blew. It was terrible, you guys. I'm not going to pretend. It was so bad. And you know what the coach would do? I mean, I'm out there 3 minutes. The coach is like, just staring at me. Hates me. All right. You are off the court. You are benched. Every time. I was like, oh, man, come on. I just, fine, whatever. You know, go back and sit down. Next game. I wouldn't perform well enough. All right. Get off. Yep. You're shameful to everybody. Get up. No, I don't want to look at you. Get away, you know? And I would be benched again. I wasn't performing good enough. So he would bench me. Say, you're done. But now soccer, hallelujah. You know who my coach was in soccer? When I was like, you know that first year that you can play when you're like 7? It was my dad, all right? It was my dad coaching my team. So you know what that means? It means it don't matter what I was doing on that field. My dad was like, that is so cute. Keep playing. No matter what, I could have been chasing squirrels. I could have been chasing butterflies. I could have been picking my nose. My pants probably fell down. I tripped over them. It doesn't matter. My dad kept me in the game. He kept saying, keep going. Oh, you are so good. All the other kids are trying to get in. He's like, shut up, get back there. Go on, Beth, you're the best. You're number one. You see, my dad didn't really care about my performance. I could have been doing anything. But he was still chanting for me. He was still pulling for me. He was still saying, Beth, keep going. You can do this. You're number one. And oftentimes we see God like the basketball court coach. We see God like he's the coach in the basketball team where here we are in life and we're performing and we're trying to do our best, but maybe our best isn't good enough. And you keep looking at God like, I better keep performing. These thoughts in your mind, like, if I'm not good enough, is he going to take me out? If I'm not good enough, is he going to stop loving me? And here you are on the court and you think God's going to say, all right, you're done. All right, I've given up on you. How many times are you going to mess up? But in reality, God's like my dad on the soccer field. Where here we are in life, and maybe we struggle with this, but we turn and we do this, and maybe we're not doing our best, but here God is saying, keep going. I so believe in you. I know you messed up. I know you made a mistake. I know that maybe you could do better, but I'm still chanting for you. I'm not going to pull you out of the game because I believe in you. That's our God. He loves us. He's always rooting for us. You see, that's God. And maybe some of you had some people in your life who aren't like that. Maybe you guys have some parents in your life or some figures that you look up to. And it's very difficult for you to see God like this. But God wants to say something to you tonight. That he so is in love with you. That he sent his son to die for you. And if you're having a hard time visualizing that and receiving that, maybe because some people in your life, you need to give that to God and open up your heart and let him speak to you because it's true. You see, God is always for you. If we can turn to Galatians 3, God makes it clear. In Galatians 3, he says, how foolish can you be? But I like to read it like this. I feel like God's like, Beth, how foolish can you be after starting your life in the Spirit, after starting your new, wonderful life? Beth, after you gave your life to me, after you rose your hand, you said that prayer, you made me your Savior, after I taught you how much I love you, after I showed you how much I've forgiven you, Beth, after you began to walk in joy, Beth, after everything we've been through, it says, after starting your new Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you trying now to become perfect by your own human effort? Why are you now trying to perform for God? Why are you now trying to earn God's love? He's saying you're never going to get it that way because God already loves you. If you're trying tonight to show God, look, God, I'll make you love me. Look, God, I'll do all these good things. We have our checklists. I read my Bible. I prayed. I said thank you to somebody. I did a good deed. I didn't beat up that guy that I really wanted to beat up. I got my checklist. And you're doing all that so that God will love you? You're missing it. You know, I watch a lot of Netflix. I'm like the expert level Netflix watcher. You know, like gamers have like the loser, then amateur, then not so much loser, then like expert. Like if you could put that on Netflix, I'm like expert level, baby, okay? That's me. I'm all about that. So I watch a lot of crime shows. Anybody else love crime shows? Like at this point, I have watched so many hours of crime shows. I could work for the NYPD. Like, I would be in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just putting the amount of hours I watched on my application. And say, what? I'll start Monday. All right, you know? Like, that's me, right? So I watch all these criminal shows and these crime shows. And you know how it goes, right? There's usually a dead body. I didn't mean to get crazy up in church, but I said it. Usually dead body, white sheet, and the guy walks in. Chewing gum. His leather jacket walks over, picks up the white sheet. Woo! Oh, man. She had it coming, that's for sure. Walks over with his notepad. What's the MO? For those of you who aren't expert level like me, that means what's the motive? Just fill you in right there. So what's the MO? Why do they ask that? In every show I watch, and TV must be true, so, you know. Every show I watch, I say, what's the MO? What's the motive? Because if you can determine the motive, you determine why they did what they did, what they're going to do next, all of it comes into the picture. So tonight I want to ask you a question. What's your motive? Determine your motive tonight. Let's think about it. If your motive of doing all these things is to get God to love you, you're missing it. You're missing it. You don't have to do anything to get God to love you. But if you're doing it because God loves you and you love God and you know that it pleases him, then you're on the right track. I remember a time in my life when I was doing all these things. When I was doing like the good deeds, I was doing like the righteous living, man. Woo, people that I was saved. Like, you know, those people that you think are saved, but then there's that people you think are saved, you know? Like, woo, they're going to just skate into heaven, you know? I thought that was me. Then I realized I was doing it all for the wrong reasons. And when you do it all for the wrong reasons, it never feels like enough. Because there's nothing you could ever do enough to keep God to love you. Your performance is never good enough. And so tonight, if your motive, you're realizing, oh my gosh, I have my checklist, and I've been doing this, I've been doing that, I've been trying to be perfect, I've been trying to do this, because I'm trying to get God to love me, can I just tell you, he already does? And we need to ask God to renew our minds. We need to ask God to show us that he loves us. And you need to start thinking differently when you think about God. You need to start thinking differently because you want to do these things because you love him, right? That should be your motive. That should be my motive. That I come to church because I love God. I come to church because I know that it pleases him. That when I read my Bible, God's like, yeah. When I pray, God is like listening. And he loves to hear my voice. He loves to hear your voice. When you do a good deed at school, when you're nice to a friend, when you see someone who doesn't have enough money to pay for lunch and you step in, you say, I'll pay. Ooh, God does the dance. Woo! He is excited. That pleases him. And then when you come to church, he just passes out. He's like, oh, I can't take this anymore. This is too good. See, that's our God. And we need to be doing these things to please him. Not for any other reason. Because in Galatians it said, you don't need to perform. Stop performing. But start living for God. Start loving God. Start doing these things to please God. You know what I found though? It's really hard to understand the love of God. It's really hard to understand the forgiveness of God when you're a slave to something else. It's just hard. Some of you are like, what you talking about, slave? Did you know? Did you know that when you're in sin, you're a slave to that sin? Did you know that when you are in sin, you basically do this? You open the door. You say, all right, devil, come on in. All right, devil, have access to my life. When you sin, you're saying, all right, devil, bring your destruction. Bring your lies, bring your sickness, bring all that with you and come into my life. And sometimes we act like, whoa, where'd this all come from? My life's falling apart. But we've been sinning. We've been opening that door. We've been a slave to sin. You see, in Romans 6:15, let's put it up. In Romans 6:15, it says, well, since then God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean that we can go on sinning? So here we're talking about the love of God, right? How God loves us through everything. God loves us through every mistake. So that, does that mean we should just keep on sinning? Does that mean we should just keep on doing what we're doing? It says absolutely not. It says of course not. Don't you realize, listen to this, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. You see, too many of us are slaves to sins, slaves to things that have been, we've been engaged in, slaves to things that we've been messing around with. Maybe lustful thoughts. Maybe some of you guys just, you love to lie, you love to gossip, you love to do all these things. And here God is saying, but you're a slave to it. Don't you see? The devil can just, hey, come over here. Hey, come over here. And you're a slave. You follow it wherever it goes. You know, I want to tell you a story about a man named Sammy. You see, Sammy, back when he was a little boy, he used to love to go to his grandma's house. How many guys have a grandma that you love going to their house? Like, it's all about grandma's house. You know, that's where the party happens. Here he goes to grandma's house with his sister, and he would love to go to this house because there's this wooded area. His grandma had a pond. His grandma had it all. And what Sammy would do is he would get a slingshot. How many guys have ever seen a slingshot? You guys ever use one of those things? That's impossible to use. It is impossible. And what Sammy would do is he would take this slingshot and he would just do target practice at trees. He would put cans up on the fence. He would shoot it at rocks. And my God, Sammy could not hit anything. All right? Sammy could not hit one thing. And then one day, Sammy was walking by this pond and he saw his grandma's duck. Y'all know where this is going? Sammy saw his grandma's duck and he thought, you know, I never hit anything anyways, right? I might as well try to hit my grandma's duck. It ain't that big of a deal. I'm going to miss anyways. He took his slingshot. He pulled it back as far as he could. Shoo! It hit that duck straight in the head. That duck died without one more quack, all right? It was dead, dead duck. Sammy goes, oh, my gosh, what just happened? My grandma's going to kill me. He went. He picked up this duck. He ran. He's looking around, making sure nobody sees him. He runs over to the barn. He begins to dig a hole, and he hides the duck. He's like, oh, my gosh, no one saw it. As he's walking away, he sees his sister, Julie, arms folded, watching, shaking her head. Sammy is scared. He just walks away. And later that night at dinner, Sammy, Julie, Grandma, and Grandpa, they're all sitting there. And dinner's over. And Grandpa says, hey, Sammy, let's go watch a movie while they do the dishes. His grandma says, all right, Julie, let's do the dishes. Let's clean up. And Julie says, you know, Grandma, I would love to help you. But Sammy said he wants to help you. She looked at him and said, remember the duck, and walked away. Sammy's like, oh, she's going to tell. I have to help. Sammy does the dishes for Julie. Julie's laughing in the living room, having a blast. The next morning, Grandpa comes to Sammy and says, hey, Sammy, get your stuff. We're gonna go fishing. He's like all excited, and Julie wants to go, but Grandma says, hey, Julie, I need you to stay back with me, and you need to help me do some chores. Julie says, Grandma, I would love to help you. But Sammy over here, he's dying to help you do chores. She walks by him, remember the duck. Sammy says, oh, fine. I'll do chores. You go fishing. This happens week after week. Summer is almost over, and all Sammy has done is do chores for Julie and himself. Finally, Sammy says, you know what? I can't take this anymore. I'm done being your slave. I'm going to go, and I'm going to tell Grandma what I did. He walks up to his grandma, tears in his eyes. He says, Grandma, I have to tell you something. It was me. I killed your duck. I'm so sorry. And he begins to cry, and his grandma looks at him. He says, Sammy, I know. I was watching the whole thing from the window. Sammy, I saw you kill the duck. I saw you take the duck and put him by the barn. Sammy, I even saw Julie watching from afar. She said, Sammy, I saw it all, and I already forgave you. I was just waiting to see how long you're going to let Julie treat you like a slave. I was just waiting to see how long you're going to let Julie hang this over your head. You see, that's you and me. We go through life and we're going to make mistakes. We go through life and we're going to do things maybe we regret. And we feel like we have to hide it from God. Or we feel like when we make a mistake, we can't come back to church or we can't talk to anyone about it. But God's saying, I saw the whole thing. And I already forgave you. But how long are you going to let the devil treat you like a slave? How long are you going to let the devil remind you of it? How long are you going to let the devil hold it over your head and drag you around? How long are you going to let the devil keep throwing the sin in your life and you keep going after it? You see, tonight I believe that God has put something in my heart for you guys. I believe there's some people in this room who you don't understand the love of God yet. You don't truly know. You have the relationship of he loves me, he loves me not. God loves me, God loves me not. You never know where you stand with God. But God is saying tonight, not any longer. Tonight you're going to understand that God loves you, that God has a plan for you, that God has said that you're righteous, God has said that you are talented, God has said that you are here on purpose. And others of you, I believe God is saying, there's some things you're involved in. And tonight you need to show the devil you're not a slave any longer. I believe that tonight there's some things that some of you are going through. And God is saying, when are you going to stand up? When are you going to stop being a slave to the devil and stop letting the devil just kick you around? Isn't it time that we stand up to the devil? Because Christ is on our side and Christ has already forgiven us and Christ has already overcome the devil. So what are we waiting for, church? What are we waiting for? What am I waiting for? What are you waiting for? You see, tonight could be a change for the rest of your life. Or it could be just another Wednesday night. So in a minute, we're going to get into worship. And then later, we're going to have praise. And we're just going to have fun. But I believe in this moment, if everyone could stand up. Stand up with me. In this moment, if you want to worship God tonight. If you want to come to the altar. I already see people are like making their way. If you want to come to the altar and you want to worship God, then you come. Because we're going to worship God tonight. Because we're going to accept God's love tonight. Because we're going to speak over ourselves that we are loved. And some of you, you've never come to the altar. You're saying, that's not my thing. That's not what I normally do. I have a reputation to uphold. But can I tell you something? You're in the driver's seat of your life. And it's up to you whether you make changes in your life or not. It's up to you whether you go home tonight saying, oh my gosh, that was the best night of my life. I've never felt so free. Or if you go home with the same problems you came with. You see, this altar is open. And as you guys worship tonight, you're not worshiping to get God to love you. You're worshiping him because he loves you. You're worshiping him because you know that it pleases him. And others of you tonight, who you're dealing with that sin that you just can't shake. You're dealing with that mistake that you just, it just is hanging over your head. Maybe some of you tonight, you're going to stop smoking weed. Maybe some of you tonight, you're going to stop drinking with your friends when your parents aren't home. Maybe some of you tonight, you're going to stop lying excessively just to get attention because you're going to realize that God has already given you all the attention you'll ever need. You don't have to lie to get attention. Others of you, you're going to break free maybe from sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Maybe you didn't know that was a sin. But let me tell you this, God created sex and it's a good thing. But it is reserved for marriage because God wants it to be perfect. And some of you, you need to come to this altar. You need to give God some things in your life. And we're going to worship and we're going to sing about how much God loves us. And I want you to speak that over yourselves. I want you to scream it out. I want you to sing it out because God is so in love with you. No more he loves me, he loves me not. No more roller coaster relationship. God loves you. I want you guys to say that with me. God loves me. God loves me. Again, God loves me. He's so in love with you. So let's sing it and worship God tonight.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yes, he loves us. Oh. My sins, oh, it washes my shame.